Don't sweat a swing and miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to the specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Baseball is America's national pastime, and BetMGM's favorite pastime is making the sport even more amazing for fans. Whether you want to bet on a no-run first inning, try a signature bet, or take a home run prop, BetMGM has a loaded lineup for all nine innings, all season long. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't hit. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
This is Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
You have to have those guys that are consistently having that post for the team and be able to challenge guys, or else you're just going to have a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, and you have to have – you also have to have the guy who's going to say, cut the crap.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, who – give me – you've been around a little bit. Give me some good examples of guys who have done that. And I know that guys have been phased out of this game. Believe me, we've had them on the podcast a Brock Holt, a Mitch Moreland, a Rick Porcello, where mm-hmm. once the analytics started coming into the equation, like they didn't have a chance. But at the same time, it's, well, and we've also seen teams, Julian, where throughout the course of the year, like you're rudderless. So anyway, give me some examples of guys that you've seen that sort of maybe have done what we're talking about, which analytics would suggest that it's not exactly the guy that you need, but it's really the guy that you need.
I'll go back to even Edwin, my first year there. He had a really good year in like 2018. Like it was like a resurgence year. And like, I remember he was sort of the following year, Billy Bean didn't want to bring him back. And so he was like, but he had like a 2.9, like a 2.80 ERA or something like that. And Billy Bean did not want to bring him back. And he's like, why? And he was like, well, because your FIP was such and such. And he's like, what the hell is a FIP? Like, I've never heard of a fucking, like, what the hell is a FIP? And so me and him were sitting in Arizona and he's unsigned. And I'm interviewing. He's like, bro, I've never heard of FIP. What's FIP? Did I get the guy out or not? Like, what's FIP? And so like the players like really wanted him back. Bob Melvin really wanted him back, but front office didn't want him back. And granted, it probably was the best decision. But the year before that, like if you just looked at his FIP, you'd be like, okay, get this guy out the league. But if you looked at him in the clubhouse and how he had Matt Chapman like under his wing, like not even just like pitchers, like position players, Matt Chapman, like Matt Olson, Simeon, you know, all these guys, and go down to the bullpen, Lou Trevino, like the rotation, it Sean Manaea, like it goes on and on and on. And if you ever talk to anybody, everybody was saying like, oh yeah, that's probably why he ends up always getting all these jobs and playing for all these different teams, even though his numbers aren't there, is because he is that clubhouse guy. It's because everybody does rave about how good of a character guy he is. I think that necessarily matters. And that really sort of catapulted them into the playoff conversation that year because his presence meant something.
And guys know too, in front offices, the funny thing is, Julian, that front offices, when this topic comes up, they're like, oh yeah, of course we evaluate. Oh yeah, of course, yeah. It's a little of everything. Yeah. But then the guy with the 5.5 ERA, but the good spin rate,
yeah,
you know, he's made available. Well, all right, we're going to kick this guy to the curb because this is more important. So another guy that jumps to mind for me, which I was only around for a brief second, but I keep hearing it over and over, is another guy who was introduced to the podcast world recently, is Eric Hosmer. Like, I've heard this about Hosmer. Like,
yeah,
about,
I did too, especially with you know, with Tatis and with the Padres and everything like that. And, you know, people give like Hosmer so much slander, but dude, go look at the numbers. I don't care about what OPS, fine, his OPS is 776, who cares? But look at the totality of like his career. That's a really good career. Like he lived up to everything about being a first round pick that there is. Plus, he was the liaison between front office, the players, the manager, everything. And you just saw how he just connected with guys, even with Casas, right? He handled that Casas situation well. I was like, yeah, like I know he's the future. I know this is the guy, right? So it's just a matter of that person being comfortable in their own skin and being able to just see the game for what it is.
And he said he learned it from Raul Ibanez, right? Mm-hmm. Who obviously passes it to him. So it's one of those things where you know. I mean, when you know, as a player, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just Justin Turner comes in last year. And it's not like, and I always say the Rudy in the stool speech, because, you know, we can give examples of guys who have come in to clubhouses and said, I got to be a leader because my contract says I got to be a leader, because my service time says I got to be a leader. Well, it is what it is.
Or you're just Kike Hernandez that says you got to be a leader.
Yes, so, there you go. So
what are we doing here?
But Justin Turner, he comes in and it was like, nobody, he didn't say, hey, everyone gather around. He just did his stuff, you know, eased into it. And then, you know, by the time the first month of the season comes around, everybody knew who was everything filtered through that clubhouse. And I'll give you another one, Julian. The Arizona Diamondbacks last year, like they brought in Evan Longoria, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had on Hazen and Lovello, and they talked about Evan Longoria obviously didn't have a great year, but he was good enough to function, I guess, at third base. But as I think Hazen said there are some guys, there are some instances where, to your point, the coaches and the manager, it's not their message to give. You have mm-hmm. to have the player give the message. And for Evan Longoria on that team, which I don't know if you know this, they made it to the World Series, but on that team, like he was the guy. Like you can say, yeah. Well, oh, he wasn't that great. And well, to me, they probably don't get through whatever trials and tribulations they went through, and they don't get to the World Series without having that guy whose stats probably weren't that good, who analytics showed that probably wasn't the best option there, but he was that impactful in another way. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. I'll give you one small anecdote. I remember the Cleveland trip last year, the Matt Dermody trip. But anyways, that was crazy. That was a trip. But no. What, after one of the games, I remember Jaron Duran was like in this huge, he was getting into one of his funks. And you can tell he was starting to get in his head a little bit. And they had just lost, whatever. And then next to him is Justin Turner just talking to him after the game. Like just shooting the crap with him. Like in his ear, talking to him. Boom, boom, boom. Jaron Duran goes out the next day, goes 3-for-4. year before that that happened, Jaren talked about he didn't really have anybody to turn to, right? So he's just stuck there in his thoughts. Doesn't necessarily have a coaching person, the coaching staff person that you can go to, because I think, you know, Huddy wasn't there at that point. Didn't really have any relationships with the players like that to that extent. And he always talked about Justin Turner. So that stuff really matters.
Yeah, you got to have the guy. One that jumps to mind again last year, Trevor Story's interaction with Cassis. Like he said, what? Sat down with him in the dugout an hour after the game. He made a big error. Said that was the fork in the road. And another guy that you know well, Jackie Bradley Jr. Well, Julian, I remember him. I think he was 14, 15.
Yeah.
Like he was lost in that clubhouse. Like he was lost in that clubhouse. And then Chris Young, I think, came in, you know, and all of a sudden there was guys that like he could lean on.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and it was just another person. It was, yeah. So I think that's a good example. Good job.
Yeah, for sure.
But so when you talk about, this is morphing into what I did say we're going to talk about, which is when you call up a guy, and this is a big, in the first month of the season, this has been a huge topic of conversation, mainly because Jackson Holiday got called up. So Jackson Holiday comes up, he's not good, he gets sent back. And there's this, like, when do you call the guy up? When's the right time to do it? Do you need immediate do you need immediate results? Well, since I love science, one of the things that I've come to the conclusion is that you don't understand, like, that people go through, when you get called up, usually you're going to have a rough spot. Now, you might catch fire first off, right, and then have the rough spot. Or you might have the rough spot and then get sent down. Mike Trout came on this very podcast and said he got sent down like to begin the year, the following year after he did his debut. And then he comes back. But here's one of my, I think that one of the reasons this is happening where you aren't getting a lot of shock and awe out of the gate. And then you ultimately get 48 straight fastballs like 2 months from your debut. And here's a reason why. Because before, they didn't have the information when you got up. Like, mm-hmm. they were flying blind. Jackson Holiday gets – here's my prediction. Jackson Holiday gets called up 5 years ago. He's still up. Because
Yeah.
You know, but now the minute he gets up, this is how you're going to pitch him from minute one.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
100%. Or, I mean, like, and I think ultimately, like, Jackson will probably be fine, right? He's like, he comes from the lineage.
Well, again, Trout, we all, yeah. I'll go back to Trout was fine. These guys are going to be fine. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. But like you said, the information is like, I mean, sometimes it becomes too much, right? But like, especially with guys like that, where you're seeing like, okay, like he has a big swing, he has a big move that he probably is able to get away with in AAA. I mean, we talk about Raffy, right? Like, he had to calm down his hand. So imagine, like, somebody like Jackson Holiday coming up. Of course, he doesn't have the credentials that Raffy has yet, and he has that huge move. It's like, well, that's probably going to get exposed a little bit. He's probably going to go back down there. He's going to be fine. But that just goes to show that, like, you can't necessarily depend on these guys ultimately right now to always make impact, be an impact players. Like, Tatis, Acuna's, those guys who just come up and just hit the ground running like that, those are guys are one of one, right? Like, those are just anomalies. And I know people put Jackson, some people probably put him in that category with Tatis and Acuna. I've seen Jackson play. I don't necessarily see that level of player, but obviously you're going to get a guy that's going to have a really great MLB career from what scouting reports say, from what obviously his lineage, his family, his lifestyle, the way baseball is just involved in just his entire being, you know, he's going to have a really good career. But as, you know, time bloom and everybody always says, you know, all the GMs and everybody says, you know, success is never linear in the big leagues. Look at Houck, you know, like look how long it took Tanner Houck to figure out. I said for years, Tanner's a reliever. Tanner's a reliever. Tanner's a reliever. And all of a sudden, he figures out, hey, I got to throw my best stuff, and I don't need to throw 100 miles per hour. And all of a sudden, he turns into this. And so you just don't know. You got to give these guys time to develop. You got to give them time to have experience and struggles. And ultimately, I think it's going to be fine, but it's also a point that you can't always depend on prospects to come up and be what you expect them to be from the get-go. You can't. Because it's not many that even become a lot of them even, you know, weed out. We've seen that as well.
Yeah, well, it's two things. It's number one, like we said, the way that they're being approached because of the analytics, because of scouting reports. Let's be honest, because scouting reports. But and then there's the oh my goodness, you think Jackson Holliday ever went 1 for 29?
No, like 19 strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even.
And he never had
a semblance of that.
Keep in mind, he's doing it. He's having to perform on a World Series contending team or a team that has World Series expectations, right? That have all these prospects that did work out when they came up, right? Like sort of Adley Rutschman. The minute he jumped into the big leagues, it worked out. But the difference between Adley had the college thing there, right? There were scouting reports that I read from the great Billy Owens, who said, you know, from the A's, who scouted him, said he'll be in the big leagues in 3 months. And this was when he was in college. Like, he's big league ready right now. So those are different. Those are two different things. You have Jackson coming from high school. He's 19, 20 years old. And you have a seasoned 23, 24-year-old. You know, it took Gunnar Henderson a little bit of time to figure it out.
People forget, Julian. People forget about Gunnar Henderson, the rookie of the year. Go back and look at his April last year.
100%. Like, terrible. He was horrible. Yeah. I remember he was horrible in that series. So you got to give these guys time. And Jackson be fine. But, you know, I think that just shows, like, if you're a contending team, you have to treat your prospects as, like, suspects until they prove you. Seriously. Prospects are just suspects until proven otherwise.
Good. Put it on the new T-shirts. Let's go. Yeah. TM, Julie McWilliams, TM. All right, last thing. If you can do whatever you want on your podcast, but since I have you here, give me your eye test guy. Give me the eye test guy for you, like right now that you've seen play, you've watched play this year, and you're like, I like the cut of his jib. You know, you know what I'm saying? We don't need to go to his Baseball Savant page.
Yeah,
I love Baseball Savant, but we don't have need, like, you just like, I like watching that guy play. Who is it?
I think right now, it would have to be between two people. Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah.
And obviously analytics jump off the page with him. And then Willier Abreu as well. Just the way they, like, go about their business in terms of just playing hard all the time. Right. Like, I always loved watching prime George Springer play because it was like, yeah, it can be ugly, but like it works because it's his game. Right. I loved watching like guys like Hunter Pence. It looks a certain way, but it works. I think those two guys, Tyler and Willier, like, they just bring it every day, and you see the intensity, you see the passion that goes into what they do. And I just enjoy watching those guys play. I'll also say this. I don't know if Rafael is a big league hitter, right? I don't know. The jury's still out on that. However, to do what he's doing defensively, going from center field in an important position, then having to play shortstop. I was talking to the great Ian Brown about this the other day. I said, that's sort of unbelievable that he's able to do that and be good at it, right? Like, you just see how the infield is so much different with him at shortstop. Like, it's there's just sort of this calming presence. They're not making as many errors. So from a defensive perspective, the eye test part of with him, it's truly special.
Yeah, and one guy, and you saw him play in Oakland a lot, you know, I was on a San Francisco station in spring training. And, you know, they were like, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, we didn't do this. I'm like, yeah, but you got Matt Chapman. I haven't talked to the people with the Giants if it's taken root yet, but I love Matt Chapman as a guy. Like, he can hit 240. Yeah. The way he plays third base is, to me, is incredible, right?
I haven't seen, like, obviously, I mean, you know, there's third basemen that go, but he's the best third baseman I've ever seen. Like, if you in his prime too, I mean, you go back, like, he still is, but you think he moved in a little bit more, but like, he was on the lip of the grass, right? When he took his position, he played his position like shortstop, and people would try to bunt on him and it never worked. He would be back and he'd be coming in. I mean, there's so many different plays. He's unbelievable. Like, again, when I first got into the game, I'm like, yeah, but he hits 240. And the scout was like, dude, do you see this guy play third base? A guy, like, do you, like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, but he hits 240. And I'm like, okay, you don't know baseball. And I'm like, oh, yeah, dang. Perhaps I don't know baseball because this guy's really freaking good.
It's winner take all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.